Time for Mac Break Weekly. Here we are in the aftermath, the afterglow, if you will, of the iPhone 5 and iPod announcements. We'll take a look at features unknown in the iPhone 5 and ask the question, is the new Nano truly a cynical design by Apple? We'll talk about it next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 317, recorded September 18th, 2012. Wi-Fi doesn't grow on trees. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. It just takes a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into a high-definition video conference. Meet with colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code MacBreak. And by FreshBooks, the easy online invoicing app for small business that saves time and gets you paid faster. Join over 3.5 million FreshBooks users and try the service free for 30 days of unlimited use at FreshBooks.com. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on Mac Break Weekly. And by Carbonite Online Backup, automatic, continuous, unlimited backup for your computer files, only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com and use the offer code MacBreak to get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com/MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show that covers the latest Apple news. And of course, as always, there's a lot of it. We've got a great panel. Andy Iannocco. Alex is not here. Andy Iannocco is here, though, from the Chicago Sun-Times. Back home. After his visit out here, it was nice seeing you.
Thank you. Lovely seeing you, Leo. Lovely seeing the studio for the first time. It is quite the amazing little festivale you've got over there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'll talk about how you could take a tour of it in just a second. Also here, though, from Tidbits, the longest-running Macintosh newsletter, publication period, Mr. Adam Engst, editor-in-chief and founder of Tidbits. Good to have you back, Adam.
Thanks for having me, Leo.
You said you're doing more video, huh?
Yeah, we've done a couple where we've been calling them Tidbits Presents, and you know, bringing in some of our Tidbits and Take Control people to talk about. First it was move to iCloud from Mobile Me back in June, then Mountain Lion, and then we did one on the whole Matt Honan epic hack, how you can protect yourself in today's digital world. So it's been interesting doing it. I've been learning a lot. I have a newfound respect for what you do here.
Oh, it's just, you know, I fortunately have a good team, and we've kind of, you'll experience this too. We did it gradually. So as you do it gradually, you get, you know, it's easy. If you try to do it all at once, it'd be hard. If you want to see, and this is where Andy comes in, if you want to see the walkthrough, we had a photographer named Tertius Karstens of Karstens360.com come out and shoot the Twit Insight. If you search for Twit on Google Maps, you'll see our Twit business entry, and click the picture below it, and it'll give you actually click the Street View man in the picture, I guess, and it'll give you a street view of our studio, and you can actually wander through it, which is kind of cool. Cost us about $800. Google has some approved photographers that come and take it. He uses an 8mm fisheye lens, takes 4 images in each direction, then moves the tripod and takes more. But if you look over here, just turn, well, there's a familiar face and some familiar cows. Andy Iannocco sitting on the living room set. And I guess you talked to the chat room and did a little mini Iannocco's Almanac. There he is. Isn't that great?
A mini comic book convention style panel with just me on everything that everything that's wrong in comics, everything that's right in comics.
What fun.
Fortunately, we ran out of time before the nasty comments about J. Michael Straczynski came in. It was a lot of fun. It was like it's so good. You have such a great chat room group in there that it's like you could really do a show like an hour every day of just ask anything.
I agree.
And then pick out, and 3 out of the 4 questions are going to be great, and the fourth is just only rejected because it's a repeat of something you already answered about 10 minutes ago.
We do that a lot. It's the easiest way to do a show. Great chat room, great interactivity. And it was fun to have you there. And I'm really glad you could be there for the Google mapping. So if you're listening on audio or you haven't seen this, just search for TWIT on maps.google.com when you see the TWIT LLC entry. Click the picture below at the street view of that. And you, they have now indoor street view. And these people come around and they take pictures and you can zoom in. And it's also, it's really kind of cool. Let me see how much. Oh, yeah, I can zoom all the way in on the cows. There they are. They got their day in the Google sun. And did, so did ICEO from Throwboy. And there's a, you can actually, it, that's a little Easter egg. If you zoom in on the monitor, you can see Tertius taking the picture. On his
did he blur his own face out, or was that blurred by the camera?
He did not blur his. I think it was blurred by the camera. Actually, there is an unblurred face. I won't tell you who. Google requirements that you blur people's faces, although everybody's pretty recognizable.
But wasn't it weird because he was saying that, but if you want your face to be on the Google on the Google view, I have to blur your face if you're physically in the picture. But if there's a camera on you and there's a screen behind you with your face on it, I don't have to blur that.
Isn't that weird?
Because it's TV. That's TV me and not real me.
Right.
So the Google Maps steals your soul, but it doesn't steal your soul through a TV panel. Professional tip.
And there are a few Easter eggs. Here's our CEO working hard. He didn't blur her, but I guess she's kind of through a window. So that's okay. Right? I don't know. And if you look in the kitchen, somebody seems to be pilfering. Oh, yeah. See, you're not blurred in the reflection there. Isn't that fun?
My anonymity, it's been gone. Google, you bastards!
Who is that? Who could that be? Anyway.
I know that sitting there with like my hat and the cows, no one would ever
guess. No one would guess who that is. Lots of fun. I think this was really, I was really glad. I think it cost about $800, but well worth it. And it's a permanent document, you know. I mean, it really is great. We won't be LLC much longer. We're going to incorporate it on the first of the year, so it'll be TWIT Inc. I don't know. I'm told that that's a good thing to do. So here we are. We're in the aftermath of the Apple announcement last week. We did a special. I hope you heard it, and a special Mac Break Weekly on Wednesday. iPhones have not arrived yet, at least not for the unwashed masses. Friday, I'm going to get my iPhone 5. Adam or Andy, do you have a review unit?
None here. Waiting for Friday.
Yeah. How about you, Andy?
I won't be coy. I don't have one.
Yeah. But yeah, some people got them.
Yep. That's fine.
Andy, you at least had the chance at the demo area to try one.
Yeah, there's demo areas. There weren't as many iPhone 5s as iPods and other things. So to be polite, you had to sort of like get in like 5 minutes of intense fondling, and then you felt as though it would be a good idea to pass it to somebody else. But then you sort of circle around and get another 5 minutes of intense fondling because the whole point of being there is the features that of the new iPhone are pretty much easy to suss out just from text. Okay, bigger screen. I get the concept of a bigger screen. That's sort of the faster Wi-Fi. I understand the concept of faster. I do have a second grade education. But when it comes to the point where Apple puts so much stock in how something feels and how something handles in your hand, yeah, you do really have to grab a hold of it to really work that out. And as I've been saying, it looks thinner in pictures, but it feels even thinner in your hand. It's a lot lighter, and it also feels a lot lighter. So it's not one of these trivial things where we managed to shave 80 grams off of the weight of this thing and say, wow, that's great. Because there have been times when I've been walking around with this with this laptop in my hand that had that extra 80 grams, and I could really feel those extra 80 grams. I went into the demo room after an hour and a half of live blogging almost exclusively for my iPhone 4S. So I know how heavy the iPhone 4S can feel in your hand. And oh boy, it just felt like it felt substantial enough that you felt like you're not going to drop it, but still you really appreciated how much weight they managed to trim off of this thing.
That seemed to be the consensus of those who were in the demo, is that in fact, MG Siegler said it felt hollow. It felt almost felt hollow.
I wouldn't go as far as that. There was definitely a sense of I don't want the mock-up. I want the real
yeah,
phone.
Give me the real one.
It was the new iPod Touch. You feel like, oh boy, I'd almost like to tape a couple of quarters to the back of this just so that this $300 device in my hand feels like I'm not going to just simply let go of it and expect for it to hover in the air for me.
Yeah.
Well, I said it was important they didn't have too many units in the demo rooms, given the availability that they ran out so quickly on actual Friday. So they had to, hold back all those ones they would have had.
They sold out. I think on the store, Apple store, they went on sale midnight and they sold out by 1 a.m. They sold out within an hour. And Apple's now saying that over the weekend they sold 2 million units, or over the first 24 hours, they sold 2 million units.
I trying to order around 8 or 9 on Friday morning, East Coast time. And I went to AT&T.
Yeah, I went to Verizon.
Already saying October.
Yep. Verizon had the 16 and 32s. They were out of 64s, or not out. I mean, they said we'll have them in, 2 weeks. But I wanted wine on Friday, so I ordered a 32. And I'm sure that the carriers sold out pretty quickly too. So that's significant. Twice the number of iPhone 5 sold as iPhone 4S's, which were in turn the best-selling iPhone of all time as well. So clearly, despite the fact that the trade press seemed less than enthused about the new iPhone, everybody else seems to be pretty darn happy. What's your take on the new iPhone, Adam?
I don't pay a lot of attention to rumors. In fact, I pay almost no attention to rumors because I think it's just a waste of time. So that said, seeing what Apple actually demoed on during the announcement, I thought it was pretty impressive, honestly. That I'm not getting too caught up in, it doesn't have NFC. It can't do simultaneous voice and data on Verizon. Obviously there's going to be gotchas here and there. But the fact is it struck me as a very nice industrial redesign. And I like the fact that the screen had gotten larger, although I do think that developers are probably going to be a little put out about having to kind of keep maintaining all of these different screen resolutions.
It is kind of ironic that Apple was the one for a long time that said, Android's fragmented, and now it's Apple. Well, at some point you have to do that, right?
Well, the answer is always going to be for Apple to find a way to integrate old software so that they don't necessarily have to do it. I mean, if you don't want to update your app, that's perfectly fine. It'll just be centered and there'll be a little black strip that'll be window box a little bit. But the culture of Apple and Apple apps is so cutthroat design-wise that what was the first thing that everybody heard after the Retina MacBook came out? That my app looks like crap next to all these nice Retina-optimized apps. Now I really am going to have to redesign mine because I don't want my app to look horrible next to the competitors.
That's right.
Yeah. And I do think that we're going to be seeing more of this. And what I'm a little confused about not being a developer is I had thought there had been stuff that was said about screen resolution independence, where you'd be able to make interfaces that really would scale to whatever screen. And that doesn't seem to have happened particularly. But, again, maybe I'm just remembering wrong that this was going to be one of the things that Apple was pushing.
That has been a big deal at WWDC for the past 2 or 3 years. And I just haven't seen a lot of developers get really excited about it. It really is one of those. It explains why sometimes Apple has to force developers into using new APIs by invalidating the old ones. Because if you tell a developer, the user will probably not really see the difference. Yeah, you will spend the next 2 weeks of your life or even 2 hours of your life trying to get this to work, but it will not have an immediate impact upon how the users interact with it. Most developers are going to say, well, okay, if that becomes a problem, I'll deal with it. But right now, I'll just stick with the workflow that I've got that works right now.
Was it a surprise that we knew everything? I know you said, Adam, you don't pay attention to rumors, but surely you must have known, even without paying attention, what we were going to get. And in fact, the rumors were, as far as I could tell, 100% right on. Even the rumor that I didn't credit, and I have to apologize to 9to5Mac. They said, there'll be an iPod announcement during the. And I thought, there's no way if they're going to do another announcement for the Mini in October that they'll do the iPods. And yes, indeed, they did do the iPods.
I love how we're already saying the Mini as if we know what everyone's talking
about. Right, I know. I'm sorry. That was a rumor. Pay no attention to that, Adam. But you know why I give it now a lot of credit? Because the rumor mill got it exactly right. My thesis is, and tell me if you guys agree, Apple is still able to keep a lid on stuff that comes out of Cupertino. For instance, pricing, things that only Cupertino knows, they're very good at keeping a lid on. The problem is that now they have to build these phones because demand is so high months ahead of time. You cannot keep a lid on Chinese suppliers. And so what happened is all of the leaks came out of China, and not even from necessarily from Foxconn or the major manufacturers, but from suppliers to the major manufacturers. And I think that that's going to be impossible going forward for Apple to keep a lid on that.
Well, I think that's true. And I think the other thing is that it's tricky sometimes to differentiate between a rumor and, shall we say, informed speculation that, you know, it's a pretty good bet that Apple was going to do LTE in the iPhone 5. So, you know, so anyone's saying, oh, they're going to do LTE. Well, yeah, that's easy. You know, that's you know, you don't even need someone saying they've done LTE to say that, to suggest that that's going to be in the iPhone 5. Right. And so I think those people who have been watching Apple for a fairly long time can really pretty much look at all of the weaker points. You know, oh, we don't have LTE in the iPhone 4S. That's going to be coming. We have the chips. That's easy to see. Mm. And, you know, industrial design, that's harder because then you really are waiting for someone to leak. But, you know, we've got an iPhone 5. And, gee, who wants to put money on there being an iPhone 5S next year?
Right. Yeah, there is some obvious speculation. But we were seeing pictures of the cases, of the frame, of the back of the front.
Yeah. That's why you when you try to evaluate rumors, you not only try to evaluate the nature of the rumor, but also the timing. There are times during the run-up to a product launch where it's just not possible to keep a lid on certain pieces of information. And then there are times where it would be completely out of the blue and unpredictable.
I think once you go to manufacturer, it's impossible to keep a lid on it. And Apple's had to go to manufacturer earlier and earlier and earlier because of the demand.
Get millions ready.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the number of sales, I mean, 2 million in 24 hours? That's just nuts, you know, to be selling that many. I mean, there's a certain, I actually wonder a little bit, I don't pay too much attention to this, but like, you know, movie or album sales or things like that, you know, they've been getting bigger and bigger because the markets are bigger. But I think Apple may hit the same thing where, you know, a lot of us who have iPhones, you know, we bought in at some point in the cycle and, oh, we're ready for an iPhone 5 now. So now's when we're going to buy again. And so they're getting new customers and upgraders each time and an increasing number of upgraders each time.
I think it's become also fashion. And as we all know with fashion, there is no limit to how much you'll spend and how often.
Well, also realize that there is pent-up demand that only for the iPhone that only gets released when Apple releases a brand new phone.
Right.
Whereas in Android, that happens about every couple of months.
Right. Once a year, we get it.
Yep. Major, there was, and I even talk about the run-of-the-mill releases. I'm talking about flagship phones. There were at least two over the summer. There were two over the spring. I know of another one major handset release that's coming up about a week or two after this announcement. So there's only one time and one place. If you've been waiting for the new one to come out, now here's the new one. Do you pay or do you pray? So this is when it comes.
I also think that because of the fashion aspect of it, Apple's releases are reaching an entirely different audience.
Yes.
You know, I don't see my parents paying attention to Samsung releases or HTC releases. I'm not sure they even know who HTC and Samsung are. And yet they're pre-ordering iPhones.
Well, but that's, remember that the reason why we're so focused on the iPhone is because we're so familiar with it. I've been trying really hard to keep my ear close to the ground about wider audiences for these phones. And this year was pretty significant in the number of people who didn't really particularly care that there's going to be a new iPhone coming out in September and October. And not even just talking about me walking through coffee shops and seeing people like reusing the variety of phones they're using these years. I'm talking about the people who always hit me up for advice. Where I told someone was trying to choose between the Samsung Galaxy S3 because they knew that I had one, or the iPhone 4S, not the iPhone 5, the 4S. And this was just about 6 weeks ago. And I had explained to them, well, maybe you want to hold off because Apple's definitely come up with something new. And this person was saying that, no, I mean, my contract's up. I really want a new phone. I don't want to wait 2 months for the next one. They're willing to take the old model iPhone if that was the one that they wanted.
Frederick in our office bought an iPhone 4S last week. We all were saying, what the hell? Don't you listen? She said, no, I just wanted it now. Exactly the same response, which is, no, I'm good with the 4S. I know it's coming. I'm fine.
The iPhone is always going to be a very, very important phone, a very style-conscious phone, very technology-driving phone. But we tend to forget that there are people who use Microsoft Office because it is a productivity tool and they don't have any passion or any real interest. And there are a lot of people like that in phones, too. And now that there's so many different alternatives for good, big-screen, high-power smartphones, it's not going to be quite so important.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you please.
I was just going to tell one story before we get off of the iPhone 5.
We're not getting off the iPhone for some time, by the way.
Okay.
We got a lot more to talk about. I want to talk about the A6.
Let's go.
I want to talk about the screen. I want to talk about the connector. There's a lot of question marks now people have, and I'd like to get your take on these. But go ahead.
All I was going to say is that the demo room has several tables, and one is devoted to the iPhone 5. Like I said, there are about maybe 4 to 5 copies of it on there. And then again, I try to give it up so that I move on to the next table. I crap because of Foo Fighters performing at the end of the event. I blew out the battery in my camera, so I was taking pictures with my iPhone of like these actual samples I had in my hand. So moved on to the iPod table, looking at this. Okay, great. Talking to like the rep about giving questions about that, and then take a picture with my iPhone 4, put it in my pocket, and then I noticed in my breast pocket here, and I just like I do, like, you know, just like you do. You use your phone, take out your pocket, you put it back in. It's like an automatic thing where you don't even know what you're doing. And then I noticed that there was already a phone in there, and I looked down at it and I saw like a silvery band of a thin phone. I pulled it out and saw a widescreen thin phone, and the thought flashed through my mind, holy mother of God, without thinking of it, I put an iPhone 5 in my pocket and walked away with it. And my life, not my life, but my career flashed through my eyes at that point. Thinking after a string of mental profanities, the next step was I had the Costanza thought, which is, I can't possibly, if I try to sneak it back onto the table, then they'll see it and they'll wonder why I walked off with it. If I walk up to Apple and say, hi, I'm sorry, I accidentally walked off with one of your phones, basically I wouldn't be allowed to even purchase an iPhone in the future, let alone be invited to another.
Yeah.
So it went through my mind, perhaps if they didn't see me walk away with it, maybe I should just keep walking so that they just know it went missing and they don't know who took it. And then all that happened in 1.7 seconds before I looked a little more closely and realized that this was actually the Droid Razor M from Verizon that I've been testing for the past couple of weeks. It looks a lot like the iPhone 5. But I'm telling you, for 1.7 seconds, I'm like, holy mother of God, this is bad. Bad, 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 bad.
You'll never want to do that.
Don't walk away.
Here we come.
I guess I better savor those free earbuds because that's the last time I'm going to be getting anything from Apple ever.
it's a new Gizmodo, and it's called Andy Anatko.
Yes.
Let's take a break. There's lots more to talk about, and we're going to get a little bit more down and dirty. I'm just watching the Apple stock price go up and down over 700 throughout the day. I mean, it crossed 700 a second or two ago. Now it's at 699.88. Putting Apple at a all-time high for market cap, $656 billion. Of course, an all-time stock high. There's just no question that even though there was a little sell-off after the news, as is often the case, the market came back very strong in after-hours trading and then has stayed over 700 all day, or close to it anyway, all day. I mean, it's pretty clear that the stock market anyway likes the iPhone 5. We're all going to buy one. This show brought to you by our friends at Citrix, who do such great stuff, including the amazing go-to meeting. They say meeting is believing. It's true. When you're meeting with clients or colleagues, seeing them is face-to-face is so important, but it's so hard to have face-to-face meetings with everybody all over the place, teams all over the world. People, you know, moving and traveling. So GoToMeeting is an amazing tool. I don't know, you know, I it's funny. I walk by in a lot of mainline businesses. You go by the video conference room, you know, their special conference room with a special screen and all that stuff. And literally, they spent 20, 30, 40,000, sometimes more on these rooms. And, you know, just a year or two ago, and I have to say, you know, I feel kind of bad because here's GoToMeeting, which works with your desktop Mac, your PC. The cameras on these things are as good or better than anything that in that $30,000 conference room. So you're getting great video. You're right at your desk, but not always just at your desk. You can also use an iPad, which is truly incredible. When you see GoToMeeting on the iPad, and you're out in the garden, or you're at the ball game, and you say, oh shoot, I forgot the meeting, and it uses the camera on the iPad, the microphone and the earbuds on the iPhone. This is awesome. So screen sharing plus high quality HD video so that you're meeting face to face. GoToMeeting's an amazing product. I want you to try it free for 30 days. Visit gotomeeting.com and click the try it free button, the orange button that says try it free. And 30 days free with the promo code MacBreak. Unlimited use, as many meetings as you want, as long as you want. It's if you once you buy, it's less than $50 a month, $49 a month. So you have to look at those big corporate teleconference rooms and think, if they just waited a little longer. Go to meeting.com. Please try it today. Use the offer code MacBreak. Don't show the CFO who bought that big video conference from me. May not be too happy about the whole thing. Oh, Apple just went over 700 during that commercial. Goes up and down, up and down. That's an amazing stock. Who would have thought that? Remember, Andy, when Scott Bourne was saying $200?
Yep. Again, like there are five major disappointments in my life. One of them was seeing the stock at 12 3/8, knowing that this is sickly undervalued. This will go up, up, up as soon as people realize how undervalued it is. But knowing that I write about this stuff, I've got inside information about their product line. Yeah. I can't buy this stock myself, but telling everybody I know, please buy this stock. You will thank me so hard.
Have you received any thank you notes?
I am not joking. I was upgraded. It caused me to be upgraded from annual Christmas cards to very nice Christmas gifts from a couple different people for many years after that. I think I got. I also got a note when it was above 300, and I was reminded that, oh, remember that time when you told me to buy the stock? You're a smart man, Andy. I like having you in my life. And my children who are going to be college educated now also thank you for having me.
And I feel terrible because I told my half brother about 3 months ago, sell it. They can't possibly go any higher. I hope he didn't. Noel, I hope you didn't listen to me. Analysts are now saying that the target price is $1,000.
You have to say that with a Dr. Evil voice.
$1,000. You might as well say a million. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How many tulips does that make?
It's not, though. That's the thing. It's not. I don't think it's a bubble. It's a bubble. I think it's genuine.
I mean, that's the thing is you look at the PE ratio. It's what, 1645 or something?
1645.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Facebook is like 80, right? What is it? I mean, not anymore.
Facebook has earnings?
Actually, I'm just curious what Facebook PDE. I mean,
it's one of those things where Apple is the stock price is incredibly high, but on the other hand, they're also making more money than you can possibly imagine. Every quarter.
Facebook price to earning is $122.
Yeah, precisely.
Apple's is $16.45. That just so this is not a bubble.
No,
it's worth it. This is the most valuable company in the history of the world. Shimony Christmas. All right, so there are still a lot of questions about Lightning.
Never strikes twice, I hear.
Apple, even on its own page, at first said that it's not going to have iPod control capability. Now it says it will. Does anybody have the nobody can see these. These are, the phone comes out Friday. The adapters don't come out till next month. A lot of BMW owners were a little perturbed because BMWs have 30-pin connectors in the glove box, I'm told. And while you'll be able to get an adapter that'll get you audio, you'll lose iPod control. Apple says the 30-pin, I don't understand it. Apple is going to offer Lightning to HDMI and Lightning to VGA adapters. Right. So we know there's video, digital and analog. But it's unclear about iPod control, right or wrong? Do we know?
That's ambiguous at best. The first widely reported answer was that no iPod control, no analog out control, no analog out signals of that kind either. And now it looks like, as of about 2 hours ago, there are people who are backing away from that a little bit. And I don't know. I really don't know what the situation is. And that's on my big punch list of things to talk about when I write my iPhone 5 review. I've got like the plutonium logo next to that one because I really at this point do not understand what is going to be capable of and what it will not be able to do through an adapter.
And then I was pretty critical of the fact that Apple's charging $30 for this adapter. Because I and others agree, I think, feel that, well, okay, I understand, Apple, you felt like you needed to change. The 30-pin adapter is 9 years old. You're right. That's an infinitude in the technical terms. So you needed to change. You could have perhaps gone with micro USB,
right?
One. Or two, having gone to this perhaps superior adapter, why do you have to gouge us on the connector? But then there was a great article, and I'm going to try to find it, because it was from a solipsistic... The name of the blog is solipsistic... Let me see if I can find this. And he says, no, let me explain the technical solipsism gradient. It's Rainier Brockerhoff.
Oh, yeah, I know Rainier.
You know Rainier? So he's reliable, right?
Yeah, he's a developer. I actually roomed with him at Mac Hack 1 year.
Okay. So he says, here's what he says. First of all, people keep asking why Apple didn't opt for the micro USB connector. The answer is simple. That connector is not smart enough. Only 5 pins. Most of the dock connector functions wouldn't work. Only charging and syncing would work. And the pins are so small, no current plug connector manufacturer allows the 2 amps needed for iPad charging. So if you're going to use this connector and you're going to use it for an iPad, you can't use micro USB. He says, I'm told several devices managed to get around this by some trick or other, but I couldn't find any standard for doing so. He also says this explains the price of the Lightning to 30-pin adapter. It has to demultiplex the new digital signals and generate most of the old 30-pin signals. In other words, it's not simply an adapter.
Right.
It's got electronic components in it.
Yeah. Yeah. The old devices used to generate that on board.
Right.
I guess the question from my perspective is you know, how long is it going to take to get sort of the Lightning be able to do the back and forth thing that, you know, I mean, I mostly have cables around. I have cables in, you know, a bunch of different rooms in the house and plugged into all sorts of different things. And, you know, those I'll probably just be, you know, keeping in spot. But it's more when you have, you know, the docks and the car adapters and stuff like that. You know, are you just going to be replacing those, or, you know, like, will BMW, you know, have a swap out thing that you can, you know, take it into the dealer and just get a new cable? You know, that's where I'm confused, because I have to think Apple just wants this dock connector to go away now.
I'm sure that they're going to slipstream new iPads with this connector, right?
Yes, I mean, they're going to probably not slipstream.
They'll do it. They'll wait till the refresh.
Yeah. They'll wait till the refresh.
Okay.
I think so. Because it's...
Well, that means you got 6 months of confusion.
Well, it's... I don't know what to think.
Millions of devices.
Go ahead. I don't know what to think about that one, because on the I instinctively believe that they'll just wait for the next generation iPad to make that happen. I think they also are smart enough to know that we're going to be in a dual connector world for at least the next 8 months. So it's not really a necessary step for them to make. On the other hand, they sell iPads at such a fast rate. I don't think it would be it might not be that difficult for them to say, well, won't we do a revision A of the iPad that has the new connector in it? I don't think that would happen, but that doesn't mean I simply don't think it's ridiculous to think they would do that. But I don't just to be clear, it's a non-trivial thing for them to swap out the connector on the iPad. But it's not impossible for them to do that.
I do wish Apple had. Well, first of all, I wish Apple be more clear about capabilities. Dan Frakes says Apple gave him a list of things that it will do. And I hope that Dan at some point will publish this in Macworld magazine. I also wish that maybe Apple is being clear with some, but I would like to see a clear statement about what this can and cannot do. I still also wish that Apple had charged cost only, or maybe cost slightly plus, for these adapters as a way of, I mean, it feels like they're making money off of us. I know that's their fiduciary responsibility to shareholders, but yeah. Really? Come on.
Yeah.
Well, again, it's
interesting because Apple's perfectly happy to make money off us with their stuff, and then they in the app stores, the goal seems to be to drive the price as low as possible for everything. So,
yeah, for everybody else.
Yeah, yes, and you know, no upgrades for everybody else, but you know, you'll have to buy a new iPhone every 2 years.
All that they're never interested in driving the prices low on stuff where they maintain their own profit margins. So that's
yeah, and well, that would be another strong argument for not making micro USB, because they'd lose control of it. That it's no longer proprietary. That's the argument in my opinion for it.
I will say, yeah, I mean, all the reasons for not going micro USB are correct. Where they need to do that, they would want that connector to do more than micro USB could do. But I think of all the things that were mentioned there, I think charging is the only thing that Apple really cares about. The slide right before they started talking about the new connector was all all about how today we do everything wirelessly. And I swear to God, I'm there in my seat thinking, oh my God, they're going to be removing the
connector
entirely. They're going to tell us to do everything wirelessly.
No.
So I was going into the event, I was really about half prepared for them to say that now that we don't really need the dock connector to do as much as it did 5 years ago, we're just going to go with micro USB. It's an international standard. It'll help us to comply with regulations in Europe and other places. It will allow people to standardize on one set of connectors. It's going to be a better thing for consumers. But yeah, I mean, they could have done that if they wanted to be that aggressive about removing people's reliance on wired connectivity. But you know that was never going to happen. I mean, when you go into when you see the new iPod Touch, especially when you see the new iPod Nano, you really do see why they felt this was absolutely necessary. You could not build an iPod Nano of that design and still have the dock connector. I mean, the previous edition, why was it exactly that? It was a square, but why was it exactly that dimensions? Because that is absolutely as small as you could make it, yeah, and still fit in the old style connector.
Well, and the thing that I mean, at least with a Lightning connector, you see why they're doing it. With MagSafe 2, if you look at, you know, the side of the MacBook Air or whatnot, it's not clear to me why they're doing MagSafe 2. I mean, yeah, I know it's slightly thinner and slightly longer, but it doesn't seem as though MagSafe 1 was a problem there. I mean, I'm sure there was some engineering issue.
And it actually doesn't work as well, yeah.
So this is what Dan Wright wrote on the 13th. So now this is 5 days ago in Macworld. Apple has confirmed that the adapters support analog and USB audio out as well as syncing and charging. The adapters do not support video out or iPod mode. That's the mode that would let you in your car, for instance, control the iPod through the car's interface. And I have a Sonos dock that I was thinking, well, I'll get the cable for it. The $40, because, you know, the adapter is $30. The cable is $40. And then I could still plug it in, but then I will lose control of the iPod. Yeah. They also say the Lightning connector does not support analog audio out, but the 30-pin adapter has an A to D converter or a D to A converter in it. So that's the DAC. So that is why it would be a little more expensive.
And the other thing to keep in mind is that remember that the iPhone 5 is just one third of the iPhone lineup. They still sell the iPhone 4. They still give away the iPhone 4. They still sell the 4S. And they didn't mention redesigning those for the new dock connector. So there's still going to be, at least for the next year, old style dock connectors in play.
Probably 2 years, given how long that.
So are you saying that somebody who drives a Mercedes or BMW should just use the old phone?
What I think they should do is they should basically buy the iPhone 5, put that like on the dashboard where people in the passenger seat can see it, but also have like their old iPhone 3GS actually in the glove box driving all the music and the video and stuff.
Wait, don't people like that get new cars every 2 or 3 years too?
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. And, you know, Bluetooth solves all this.
They just buy a BMW 2011 to a BMW 2013 adapter. They just like drive the old car into the new shell. Two screws, and they've got the new model.
Let's talk about the chip, because that was another area of confusion. Anand Chimpi, when he first looked at it, said, oh my God, this must be an A15, the latest ARM Cortex A15. Then he backed down and said, no, I guess not. It's an A7, which is an interesting design that lets Apple apparently make a much more customized ARM chip. So, and we are seeing now, nobody has an iPhone 5, but I did see at least one benchmark. The problem is I don't know if it's real or not on Geekbench. You know, Geekbench, you can upload your benchmarks as you go, and Geekbench is reporting iPhone 5 2 benchmark results that are, if accurate, stunning, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, do remember that there's probably about 8 to 12 of those in private hands right now, and all of them are preparing very extensive
reviews. It's Walt Mossberg's iPhone, yeah, or so, David Pogue. So maybe it is. If that's the case, so let's just say, with, you know, grain of salt, the iPhone 4S Geekbench 2 score is 629. The Geekbench that came in from this iPhone 5 2 1,601, much more than twice as fast. I mean, significantly.
Yeah.
It's even faster than the iPad 3, which was 766.
But the big question is about how much of that performance will actually be apparent to the user.
It was snappy?
It was definitely snappy. It didn't feel like in normal operation in web browsing and stuff like that. It didn't feel like it was an entirely new machine. But when you started to use intensely CPU driven apps like the 3D maps feature and just like hovering and flying through buildings, there was no lag. It was completely responsive. It really felt like you were just. It was as interactive as it can possibly be. It was as fluid as the rest of the interface. I tend to think that all that extra horsepower is more for these extra features to make sure that you get the same consistent fluid responsiveness no matter what you're doing, whether you are scrolling through a list or playing very high-level games or perhaps maybe most importantly for Apple, playing a very high frame rate, high-definition game and airplaying it to a HD TV from that very same device.
Go ahead.
I'm also going to be curious how much RAM it has in it once someone tears it down, because one of my experiences with the iPhone 4 and 4S is that a lot of the times when you see the performance lagging, it's pretty clearly because something's got to swap somewhere.
Well, yeah. That's the Geekbench also reports a gig of memory, doubled the memory.
A gig, okay.
That would make a big difference.
Yeah.
Again, these are not verified benchmarks. I don't think we'll see any. When is the embargo lifted? Tomorrow, probably, yeah?
Usually probably tomorrow.
Right?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see some actual
or night probably.
Yeah, from Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and John Gruber. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter.
It was. You know, we're really all. I feel as though there's very little real competition between those of us who write about technology, especially those who write about Apple. And man, I was a little bit jealous of John, but man, so pleased. He got like the biggest plum available to anybody. He got the FaceTime with Tim Cook in the middle of the demo area, like in full view of everybody.
And there's a reason it's in full view of everybody, by the way. Clear message Apple is sending.
Well, I won't speculate as to what that message is.
Oh, I will.
But it definitely...
It's obvious. Come on. By the way, you guys who are nice to us, come here. Come. Gather around. Inner circle.
I quite sincerely would not speculate as to exact reasons why they would do that. I'm just saying, if there is ever a reason for me to send one of those like bouquets of fruit that's cut to look like flowers to John Gruber, that would be the reason, because that is such a nice moment.
Well, and remember, Phil Schiller gave him a personal briefing in New York City on the new iPad.
A lot of people got that.
Okay,
but
all right.
Yeah,
I didn't.
That's clearly one of the famous shots that I remember from previous media events is Walt actually sitting on one of the tables,
yeah,
and talk basically having the sweater vest fireside chat with Steve Jobs, and that's like, oh man,
that I kind of expect because he's the Wall Street Journal, so you know this is an important periodical. But Gruber's a blogger. I mean.
No, props to John.
He's a blogger.
He's an important blogger.
He's a very
well-read blogger. There are people who can be successful in that venue for 3 or 4 months by saying things that they think people want to hear. There are people who can be successful for maybe a year by saying things that they think is going to please Apple. Right. You don't have that kind of consistent success unless you are saying things that a great segment of the audience thinks is very, very important and valuable. So
I agree.
All kudos to him.
Daringfireball.net, and it's a must-read. Absolutely, if you're
they could use the extra traffic. We'll be throwing his way.
I'm glad to throw him traffic.
Exactly.
Let's see. Your process. Oh, you want to talk about graphics? We don't know much about graphics.
Yeah.
Somebody's, by the way, pointing out, and I haven't seen it, but the Galaxy S3. I mean, there are now 4 phones at the top of the heap. Mm-hmm. 2 is still to come, but 2 out or soon to be out. The Galaxy S3, the iPhone 5, the Galaxy Note 2 will be out in a couple of weeks. And the Lumia 920. But the Geekbench for the Galaxy S3 is even higher still. It's in 1700, as somebody said. So, and it has more RAM, 2 gigs of RAM. So Apple is doing well within the Apple universe. But it's a competitive environment right now. There we go.
I have to admit that I'm getting a little bit tired of everybody who's got their favorite sports team shirt on and they're sitting in the Barca lounger watching these numbers. All that matters is that Samsung has a very, very successful phone that a lot of people like myself who review such things thinks is a very important step forward for Android, and which is making a lot of consumers very, very happy. And the fact that they don't sell quite as many units as the iPhone 4 or the iPhone 5, who cares?
Right.
As long as they make enough money, they make another one that's just as good next year. Everybody's happy.
Now, Friday, there's already people lining up in New York City at the Apple Store. Oh, but, you know, at this point, they line up because it's a media event. They know they're going to get coverage, right?
Yeah.
It's the newest way to get noticed. Get your agent there.
Yeah. Most of the people there are really just promoting stuff. Although I have to say, I love it. Fox 5, which is the local Channel 5 news, local affiliate for Fox in the New York metropolitan area, of course, like every other local news team, is there interviewing people. And then, oddly enough...
if not for these 24-hour news cable stations, multiple 24-hour news stations that have to fill time, I'm not sure if that line would exist.
So here is her name is Lydia. I don't know how you pronounce her last name. She's at the line. She's covering it. But the funniest thing is at the end.
It's about the experience.
What, when she talks about.
There's no doubt that Don Hitchirakti of New Jersey is a fan.
First in line.
And an iPhone fan.
I've been out here for since Thursday.
Thursday? Why?
Well, you know, iPhone 5 is the most amazing.
Oh, this guy just. Listen for the plug. Oh, she cut him off.
Good.
Listen.
Are camped out in front of Apple's New York flagship store on Fifth Avenue. Starting at $200, the iPhone 5 is sleeker, has a laser keyboard, holographic images, and other new features.
The last build lined up for the iPhone 4S for 18 days.
What? A laser keyboard and holographic images.
And it levitates.
And it levitates. And did you see the one? They were showing one that was like a millimeter thick. I don't know where she got that.
You know what? I had a suspicion that the event that I was invited to was just a decoy so they could have the real event, show the real phone to the people that they like.
See, John Gruber, it isn't you. It's the Channel 5 in New York that's got the real. Look at that beautiful phone. Wow. That is spectacular. I don't know where they got that report. This is a concept video produced by Atma Studios that apparently she watched right before she went out. Either that or, you know what I really think happened? She got punked by some intern at Channel 5.
Yeah, maybe.
Who said, hey, Lydia, here's the specs.
Whoever did that concept video, kudos, because that is a great idea. You have the actual on-screen keyboard. You simply drag it off the display. Then that turns on the OLED.
Look at that.
That would be cool.
Ooh, yeah. 3D holographic images. Man, that new iPhone 5.
Yes. Or Tupac videos.
All right, we're going to take a little break. Then we're going to talk about Friday because there are people in line in New York City. I don't know about the rest of the country, but there are people in line in the major media markets anyway. Will there be lines on Friday? How hard will it be to get a new iPhone? Andy Anacco is here from the Chicago Sun-Times. Great to have you as always, Andy. Glad you made it safely home. I forgot to give you the giant pillow that you sleep.
Oh, you did. Someone did slip me the giant sleep pillow.
Oh, you had it.
I had it.
And did you have the nerve to inflate it?
I had it with me on board.
You didn't inflate it, did you?
I did not have the. Well, first of all, it was a red eye, but I had like two seats next to me. And so I felt like I would be look like I realize that this is a person who goes out in public looking like this. So I have a pretty high threshold for looking like a dork, but blowing up a giant pillow and then like sort of slumping over it in coach, that was a little, even that for me, that was a little bit too, like, dude.
Okay, well, can you mail it back? Because I want it for my trip to Australia next month.
I will mail it back to you. As a matter of fact, I will make sure I air it out so that, you know, there's no intern, like, breath inside it. But...
Also with us, Adam Engst from Tidbits, the absolute... elder statesman. I don't know. Why don't we describe it? The longest running Macintosh periodical, still free at tidbits.com. Although, if you really like it, as I do, you can become a subscriber, a supporting. What do you call the? What do you title? You call these?
Tidbits members, and you get the little apples up there in the right corner when you comment.
Yeah. So,
to pick your apple.
Pick an apple. Do you want a red delicious, a golden delicious, an orange apple, a stripey apple, granny?
Orange Pippin.
Is that an orange Pippin? Wow.
Granny Smith?
Granny Smith, I recognize. That's cool.
And then the classic apple, of course.
Yeah. I got to send you a check. I keep forgetting to do that. Yeah, I want to be a Tidbits member. 22 years. It's the best. It's a, you know, I've been subscriber since the beginning, and I still read it every week. I love it. Get it in your email or read it on the website, tidbits.com. Our show brought to you today by our friends at FreshBooks, the ultimate online accounting program. FreshBooks.com saves you time. If you're in business for yourself, what do you like? You like getting paid, right? What don't you like? Accounting? Well, you don't have to be an accountant to do FreshBooks. FreshBooks lets you deal with the paperwork, deal with the invoices easily, simply, automatically. And the new FreshBooks app, by the way, on the iPhone, lets you do the whole thing from the iPhone, including time and hours, automatically get an invoice, send the invoice off from the iPhone. You never have to sit down at the desk. You get automated late payment reminders for those clients who don't pay. But, you know, most clients pay faster with FreshBooks because the invoice has a pay me now button, and they can pay you right away. And for those who are kind of old-fashioned and still want physical invoices for a small fee, FreshBooks will print them and mail them to your clients, complete with a return envelope. FreshBooks gets you paid faster, makes tax time much easier. Your accountant will thank you for it. If you're in business, you've got to try FreshBooks.com. Join the 3.5 million FreshBooks users who love FreshBooks for 30 days free, complete, unlimited use. Visit FreshBooks.com. And if they ask you, make sure you say, hey, I heard it on Mac Break, okay? FreshBooks.com, the best way to do your small business accounting. So is it tomorrow we get iOS 6?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
And it's an over-the-air update?
Finally. Yes.
So I don't have to hook it up?
I'm sorry. I should have dial-rimpled you. Yep.
Yep. Yep. I do have to say I'm thrilled now that we don't have to connect up, but I did get all my iOS devices hooked up to my Mac Pro last night and synced everything and backed up everything and, you know, the usual, right? Because you want to be ready for when the iOS 6 comes out. Either of you been playing with it?
If we had been, we would not be allowed to speak
about
it. Nope. However, we could certainly talk about any publicly published articles.
Well, here's a publicly published article in the Business Insider. Here's some good evidence, says Kevin Smith. The iPhone's new maps will stink.
Because, boy, it sure is fun to say. No.
Yeah. Well, it certainly gets more. Oh, God, I hate these ads. Stop it.
Yeah.
Just wish they wouldn't do that.
I'm slightly bummed about the lack of transit directions. That was something that
Google kind of owns that, right? Google Transit, they've got an API. They kind of own that one. Yeah. And here's the good news. Now, there's already a YouTube app from Google to replace the missing YouTube app. I got to think Google there's some late nights going on at the Googleplex so that the iOS app will be ready tomorrow so that you can download Google Maps.
Who knows if it'll be ready tomorrow because, of course, there's the Apple gatekeeper delay.
Oh,
so.
That's
wouldn't bet on that happening.
That's a good point.
There was a Kickstarter campaign to do a transit app that, you know, again, they were sort of perturbed that this had been lost. And, you know, it was actually a nonprofit that promotes using mass transit in cities. So so hopefully we'll see other people stepping into the breach on that.
Josh Carr of the TUAW blog. Actually, he's left, but he's still writing about it. Kelly Hodgkins writing in TUAW, a report of poor maps performance in the iOS Gold Master. Carr installed the Gold Master and discovered that search within the app has radically changed. They've actually unimproved it.
Yeah, I got to say, this is one area in which I'm a little bit concerned. Because Google is absolutely the world class when it comes to pre-installed mapping information. You buy an Android phone, so long as the carrier did not screw around with it and interfere with Google's built-in apps, you've got an app that is as good, if not better, than every commercial app on the market. It is that good. And now Apple is choosing now to to roll out their own update that's not going to be nearly as good initially. It's going to take at least a year, I think, for it to really roll up and have all the features of Google's offerings. And meanwhile, there are all these other good phones out there. I mean, over the past week, as I'm sure everybody in this conversation has had this experience, you're getting a lot of emails about, well, should I buy the iPhone 5? Should I buy this phone? Should I buy that phone? And I've sort of written up a boilerplate that's saying, here are four things that are decidedly better about the iPhone. Here are a few things that are decidedly better about an Android phone. And the first thing I put on the list for Android is that you get this incredibly good mapping solution. So if Apple takes one step backward in features, that's a huge step backwards. And I don't know how that's going to play out.
So here's what Carr wrote on his blog, Rocky Mountain Mac Repair, rmmr.us. He says, I guess point of interest searches are gone. You can search by business name, address, or Yelp category. That's it, he says. You can't search for burrito to find burritos. You can't search for point of interest. You can't search for things like iPhone repair or iPad repair. And he says, now this is what we do as in our business, and it doesn't work. You can't find us.
Yeah.
So he says, so now I need to create a false Yelp business to get to appear in the search. I can understand his disgruntledness.
I think there's also going to be a question with the Maps app of how good it handles or how well it handles the out loud turn-by-turn directions.
Right.
For me, I've always worked with something like Navigon.
Well, fortunately, Navigon's not going away. I mean,
no,
there's
they're not going
motion.
Away,
but all of those are going to still be here.
Yeah. But my question is, are a lot of people going to be getting this and thinking, okay, now I don't need Navigon or Motion X or, you know, the AT&T, whatever. And I'm just going to be curious to see how they do, because that's one of those fields where it's refined a lot over the years, and Apple's coming in with a 1.0.
Yeah.
On the other hand, at some point, you can only really, unless you license absolutely everything that you need to build this sort of thing, you really aren't going to be able to figure out how to build a good nav app until you get lots and lots of data coming in from people using the new version of your nav app. So at some point, I think maybe we can think that the real version 1.0 of this is going to be coming out in iOS 7. This year they're putting out a version of the Maps app that has some functionality, but whose prime directive is to collect enough information about how people use this app to produce a really good version 2.0.
Maybe it's Siri, like Siri, it's actually going to be in beta. So
yeah.
I was intrigued to see that Siri is still in beta, even when the iPhone 5.
Yeah, that's another area where I really wish they'd get. I really wish there'd be a more aggressive development of Siri, because this is another area in which every device manufacturer is interested in this sort of interface, and it's a bad idea for Apple to have a system that in any way underperforms. So
yeah,
nice to see sports scores. Nice to see. I'm doubly glad to see they're finally adding an app launcher to it.
Yeah, the app launcher is going to be good. I can never find anything in my iPhone anymore. I have to use Spotlight.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way. And I think there's only one feature of the iPhone where I have to say that this is a failure at this point, and yeah, that Apple really needs to do a revolution. The Springboard launcher is horrible. It's the fact that you can't find anything unless you manually organize everything yourself. The fact that it will not show you app icons you've installed because you've gone above a certain limit. It's worse than the Finder, because the Finder at least is utilitarian. It's not thrilling, but it's nice.
Right.
Springboard launcher just needs to be needs something brand new to replace it.
We also all use multiple devices, and I think this is not, again, weird tech pundit kind of thing. You know, that you have an iPhone, you have an iPod, you know, or an iPad. You know, your spouse may have one, things like that. You end up using these things, and there's no way to organize them manually so that, you know, as you get new apps, you can find things.
Yeah.
And every time I was like, oh, I just give up. I don't know which iPad I'm picking up, which iPhone. You know, I can't find it. I'll just go to Spotlight. And I really think they need to improve that. So Siri, I'm looking forward to the app launching and that a lot. I actually haven't been able to use Siri. My wife and I swap back and forth as who gets the new phone. So she had the 4S. So I still have the 4. So I'm making a double jump. So I'm looking forward to that.
So does she have to, like, when she says, Siri, where are there burritos next door to here? Just get Siri to recognize you.
I will admit she doesn't use Siri, so it just never recognized her voice well enough to make it
really
worthwhile.
That's interesting. Yeah. Does she have an accent?
it's that upstate that could New York accent.
That could be the best security feature ever. Like when you first unbox your brand new phone for the first time, every time you use Siri, like try to speak like Chico Marx, like, hey, Siri.
I want you to dial Leo Laporte. I want to dial him back, text a message. Hey, Leo, how's it going for you?
And so therefore, if it gets lost or stolen, no one will ever be able to operate it because it's so dialed into this way that
you're
speaking.
Learn? Does it learn like that?
It adapts a little bit, at least on a system-wide level. Most of its adaptations are to enhance the system and not your particular performance. Ah. But it is true that when I use a brand new device for the first time, it's the quirks that I have aren't immediately understood by Siri. So maybe that's my imagination, but my understanding is that there is some adaptation. I will also say that during a very, very tense moment in which, yes, perhaps I lost my temper and was not being as Christian as even a non-Christian should be, when Siri was just not getting it and was a situation which Siri really did need to get to help me through the situation, I did tell Siri to do something biologically and engineering-wise inappropriate. And then Siri said, did I do something wrong? And
really? She did that? You're kidding.
I actually calmed down and said, yes, Siri, you misunderstood the word parking. But no, it was just a humorous canned response. Oh. Wouldn't it be great if Siri went into a diagnostic mode saying, okay, I didn't understand the third word in this sentence. If you say this word four times, maybe I will understand you a little bit better from now on. Wouldn't that be a wonderful enhancement to Siri? But maybe we're talking about something that's two generations ahead of where it is right now.
I think we just need the Eliza hack.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel when you say text message Leo Laporte? Interesting. Go on.
Any reason not to upgrade tomorrow to iOS 6? Is there? I mean, you obviously have to have an up to date iPhone or iPad, right? You can't
3GS
do it.
On, even.
Pardon me.
The 3GS.
Even the 3GS should 3. But should 3GS people avoid it?
I would hold off if I had a 3GS.
Yeah, I would too.
Wait and see. Let other people take the arrows. Because Apple has had some problems with new versions of iOS on old hardware.
That's right.
Just in general, make sure you have a mental list at least of your 10 most important apps, your 10 favorite apps, and make sure that each one of them has been updated for iOS 6 because that's a very, very bad day.
Yeah.
If you really, really need your note-taking app and you set off on a trip and for the first time you realize that, oh, this is not working properly. Oh, my day is not very good.
Yeah. As always, it's an operating system upgrade. There's backup first. Yeah. How about an iPad original, iPad 1?
Nope. Doesn't upgrade.
No. So no. You have to have an iPad 2 or later.
Easiest upgrade of all.
Yeah. Zero. All right. Okay. I guess we'll find out tomorrow. Hmm? Is it midnight? Do we know when? No. It's just whenever. Nah. Whenever Apple pushes the button. Yep.
And Apple tends to do that sort of thing, you know, content distribution network. So I think not even everyone gets it'll it at be, the same time.
It'll be...
You can just keep checking staggered. Annual if you really care.
Right. When do we get iTunes 11? When is that? That's next month.
October.
Next month, sometime in October, yes.
Okay, so no point in talking about that.
And we don't know if it's going to be 11, but it damn well better be.
Oh, they didn't say 11.
They never said 11.
They should be. Oh, God, the Spinal Tap references in every 11. Single review.
It confused everybody because they pushed 10.7 right after the announcement. Everybody said, this is the new iTunes? It's the same. Yeah. That was just a fix so that it would work with the new I stuff.
Yeah. I'm not even sure that it's revolutionary enough to merit the next full number upgrade.
Maybe it's 10.8.
It really seems like the main thrust of the upgrade is to take more of the functionality and put it into the main menu and give you less incentive to open separate windows for doing separate functions.
So you could and to take out ping.
And to take a ping, to pull it out by the roost, to pour salt into the ground, to kill the men and the young boys.
They did
to ship the women and children elsewhere and make sure that nothing can ever grow in this ground ever again.
They did point out that ping stops working September 30th, which is before we get the new iTunes. So,
which is good because otherwise no one would ever notice that it stopped working.
I would never have noticed except I accidentally clicked ping. And it said, it was actually, I got a good...
and the little pop-up came, I was like, seriously?
It practically did. It said something like, thanks for your interest. Thank you for your interest, but
this
no.
is a technology Dear John letter.
Little animation of Ping like being shocked and like stubbing out a cigarette and putting up his shirt back on.
It's so sad. Ping, you never were loved the way you deserved.
Well, Amy Whitehouse has a new album dropping next Tuesday. Oh, she's dead.
She's gone. No, sorry, case. Ping. No. And you know who else is dead, Ping? You. All right, we're going to take a break. I do want to talk about the new iPods. This is why you don't announce iPods within the iPhone announcement, because it's like really an afterthought, and maybe that was why. Maybe Apple didn't care. Maybe
they're kind of an afterthought in the financials. So
they are kind of an afterthought, aren't they?
Yeah.
Interest is declining, and I think rightly so. A lot of people thought that the iPod Nano redesign was cynical. Seriously. Was cynical.
He's cynical.
These people know what the situation is in Syria right now, this very moment, and they want to complain about Apple being cynical about redesigning the Nano? Okay, fine.
That word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, I'll tell you why they thought it was cynical, and I'll let you judge.
No, I'm. We're judging them already. Don't worry, we're already stuck at you.
All right. It's not cynical. I do not think that word means what you think it does. Meanwhile, this portion of the show brought to you by Carbonite.com, a great way for you to back up, the way for you to back up, because it has all the features of a good backup program. It's automatic. It's continuous. Whenever you're online, you're backing up. Automatic's important because, who says, it's the third Thursday of the month, time to back up. No, even if you set that up, you forget. So it's got to be automatic. But it can't just be the third Thursday of every month, because what happens in between? You lose data if you got a crash. So it should really be you make a change to a file and it changes. It automatically backs up. So continuous automatic. And here's the best part. It's off-site. Really, I don't think people pay enough attention to this. I know too many people who've had a fire. A good friend of mine who's a novelist lost every copy of her novel in a fire some years ago. Imagine having to start over because all her backups, she had backups. She even printed out copies. They were all in the same room as the computer. The fire burned it all. Remember Francis Ford Coppola when he was living in Argentina. This was last year. They stole his computer and his backups. He said, I've lost 20 years of work. Don't let that happen to you. You got to back up off-site, and Carbonite does this all for you. And the best part is for $59 a year per computer. Less than $5 a month for your whole computer. Great for a laptop. I wouldn't send a kid to school with a laptop without Carbonite on it. Here's the deal. Go to Carbonite.com. You can try it right now. Carbonite.com. You'll see they do have plans for, external drives, small businesses, and so forth. But the Carbonite Home is the one we're talking about. They have an offer code in there. Just please put the word MacBreak. And you get this for 2 weeks free. You don't need a credit card. You just give them an email password and an offer code, and you're downloading and installing. When you want to see your data, it's all available. They have an iPhone app, an iPad app, an Android app. So your data, it's cloud storage. It's kind of part of the deal. And when you if the worst happens, if a disaster happens, you just log on to your Carbonite account on a new computer, say restore it, and everything's back. If you use MacBreak when you try the 15-day free trial, and then decide to buy, you get 2 months free. That's 14 months for the price of 12. You got to do it. Carbonite.com, the right way to back up PC or Mac. Did a bell just ring?
Sorry. That's my son's cross-country meet being canceled.
Oh, no.
Is that what that sounds like?
Are you having bad weather there in upper New York State?
We are actually having serious wind and rain and, I guess, tornado warnings, because they don't cancel cross country for very much.
Wow. Yeah, cross country kind of implies you're running through wind and rain.
And, I have to say, I still went running, and it was pretty wet and cold out
there. Wow. Well, I hope you don't have a tornado, but if you do, I hope you have Carbonite. That's all I can say.
Yeah, offsite backup, anything else. And if you're not doing offsite backup,
you're missing the bet, the boat.
Yeah, well, people, no one ever expects it.
Right.
But it happens. Fires, all that kind of stuff.
So this was Nilay Patel writing in The Verge. And I think he makes some good points. Apple's timid new iPod Nano sidesteps a smartwatch revolution. He writes, Apple loves reworking the Nano. Apple reworks the Nano every few years to kick off a cycle of upgrades. The $150 Nano is an impulse buy holiday present that almost makes it seem like you care about the recipient. Hey, it's the new iPod Nano, you say to your giftee. It indicates my hope that something shiny will distract you long enough for me to escape without having to feel any genuine emotions in this situation.
Ooh, harsh.
$150 gift?
And, you know, it seems a little steep. $50 maybe, yeah. He says, but that's the old market and the old way. It is, you might say, the Samsung or Sony way. It has not been the Apple way. iPod sales decline steadily every quarter, and cynically changing the Nano into a tiny fake iPhone to juice sales one last time won't stop that slide. You see, cynically making it look like an iPhone, just hoping to get that last $150 out of you.
They think people are gonna buy the iPod Nano because it looks like an iPhone 5 and they're confused?
No, not because they're confused. Because they're grandparents or aunts. And they think, well, I'm not going to get Timmy. He's just my nephew. But I might get
him. I don't buy the cynical aspect of it.
Okay.
I do actually like further down where he's talking about how that Apple has missed the smartwatch.
Yes, roughly. And this I agree with 100%. Yeah. Apple could have blown the smartwatch market wide open, writes Neli, with the first truly must-have phone accessory in years. Even TikTok watch band designer Scott Wilson was ready for Apple to upend his business with an actual watch. Quote, I was hoping they would keep it the same or tweak it a little so we could stay in business, he told The Verge. But if they didn't, I was hoping they'd at least make an Apple Watch because I wanted to wear that. And obviously the success of all these, you know, Kickstarter things for the watch bands for the Nano show that he's not alone. Yeah. And Apple just said, no, we're going to make something that doesn't work with a band. It's too big and looks, I mean, why did they do that? Why didn't they do a smartwatch? He says it might as well be a Samsung Yep from 2007. Yeah. Take away the multi-touch screen. It might as well be a Yep. It runs a goofy proprietary OS, comes in just one storage size, doesn't support apps, even though it looks like it might, or popular next-generation music services like Spotify or Pandora, Tundora, and generally makes no case for existing in a world where most teenagers get their music from YouTube. He's right. I mean, you're going to buy an iPod Touch if you want that, right?
Yeah, that's with that in the product line. I think they just really know who they're trying to sell to. When they sell somebody into an iPod Touch, they're potentially selling them an iPhone 6 or an iPhone 7 down the road. I think that there are two roles that the Nano fulfills. One is it's the fitness market. There's no accent that this has
an FM transmitter.
Well, no, it's small, it's tiny, and if you lose it or if it gets stolen from you, from your gym bag, it's much less of a problem than losing your iPhone or even an iPod Touch.
I think the shuffle hits that.
Shuffle's better for that. You're an actual
but
Andy and I don't work out. You actually work out. You're the expert on this, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, I don't ever run.
Andy and I haven't seen a Stairmaster in years. I'm guessing, right?
I use body isotonometrics. I got the plan from a 1963 Fantastic Four comic book that gives me astronaut strength, Leo. Astronaut strength.
You
can't get better than astronaut strength.
Okay.
People will periodically ask me what, you know, iPhone armband they recommend, and I was like, who would run with an iPhone? It's too big.
It's too big.
Too expensive.
Yeah. I have an iPhone armband. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're big, they're uncomfortable. Right. I mean, it really squishes you. So, you know, and I mean, the iPod Nano, yes, it's smaller. Yes, the bands will be, you know, smaller and things like that. But it seemed, you know, for my money, if you're going to be running with this thing, you really want the shuffle. And so I think that's a little bit of a funny, you know, a funny design choice to make it larger.
So who is this? Who is this Nano for? The seventh generation Nano? What's the market?
That's what I really don't know, because all the people I know who are looking at an iPod are looking at the Touch, or they're going to the Shuffle for kind of exercise side of things. Because the Touch is really it's for littler kids. It's for, you know, like your 10-year-olds. You know, because it's got games. It does all this stuff. But
yeah, it's for kids who are too young to have an iPhone.
Right. Precisely. No contract, and they don't even text yet. I mean, like our son has to have an iPhone because we actually have to communicate with him via text.
Doesn't iMessage work?
Yes, yes, yes.
So they could use iMessage.
Except for, no, there's no Wi-Fi.
There's no Wi-Fi.
I mean, why? I mean, you people who live in cities think Wi-Fi grows on trees, but it doesn't.
Right.
Believe me, we have trees here.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Now, Peter Rojas has a good, I think, a very interesting take on this in Gadget. My theory on why Apple changed the design of the Nano to make room for a watch-like wearable device. This is just a theory, but I suspect it could be they intended to introduce some sort of watch-like wearable device next year, one that would sync with your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch over Bluetooth and act as a secondary display, kind of like the Pebble, right? Controlling the music player, accepting, rejecting calls, etc. To avoid confusion with the watch-like design of the sixth generation Nano, they needed to switch things up for the seventh generation. In other words, they made a crappy intermediate design so you don't get confused next year.
I'm not sure if I'd call it crappy. I think the other reason why Apple makes the Nano is that this is it really is the fashion device that they're really free to throw out an old design and put in a new design. And this is the device that comes in the widest range of colors. This is why they try to make sure that it's significantly different from its predecessor whenever they can manage to make that happen. So it really is the gift, the corporate gift style iPod. I'm not sure if I was very pleased to see that it finally has Bluetooth. I think that
that's good. I can use that in my
car.
Good.
That's good. So it's for the car and it's for wireless headphones. It would be nice if they produce an update so that you could have that sort of connectivity with an iPhone or another device to use it as a remote display. I would love it if they were to create a watch type device.
Yes.
I'm not sure that internally they're the company that would make a device like that, though. I think that I would have really seen a next generation iPod Nano like the old one, where now there is full Bluetooth and a set of APIs for communicating into it, basically a container app in addition to the music app, the radio app, the photo app. That's just simply, here is a receiver app that will simply show stuff that's being projected to it from a remote app that you've synced it to. So I'm not sure if they would be creating an entirely new class of device for which no one has really shown any demand. So good speculation. And I'm not dismissing it, but I don't think that Apple would be quite that clever.
I would be massively in favor of it. I'm one of those people who, has my iPhone with me at all times. I wake up to it. I go to sleep to it. And I don't wear a watch because I have the iPhone with me. And, a normal watch simply doesn't do anything that
Freak.
The iPhone doesn't.
Hippie. People who have schedules and responsibilities have watches, hippie.
If I want to wear a watch, I'll wear a real watch. If it's not this big, if it doesn't have full GPS mapping capabilities, I don't want it.
And you were the one who said, I'm not going to wear an iPhone when I work out. That thing's huge.
That's because this is waterproof.
That's bigger than an iPhone on your wrist.
Yeah, no, seriously. This is an old Garmin 305. The only reason why I haven't replaced it is when its battery started to not be able to handle runs longer than an hour, I actually, in a fit of... like electronics capability that surprised me, because I do this about once every 8 years, managed to open it up and solder in a new battery. I was fully expecting to destroy the watch in the process and buy a new one.
Show that again. That's huge. That thing is big. Yeah. That is ginormous. Don't you feel a little, I guess runners don't mind wearing that kind of stuff.
I think in the Logan's Run TV series, they all wore those on their wrists or something.
Yes.
Like 1979.
Someday.
They had laser beams that shot out of them.
You'll know exactly where everybody is via their wristwatch.
Nobody
wears watches anymore. Is there, though, an option for Apple by putting some smarts into this?
I was saying I would do that instantly.
Yeah.
Because if I could look at my watch, look at my wrist whenever a text message came in or a notification went off, rather than trying to pull my iPhone out of my pocket and go, oh, look, that's what it is, and put my iPhone back into my pocket like Andy did.
Now, Jeff in our chat room, JeffW46, is pointing out the Italian IM watch, which we had and I reviewed, and it was unusable. There are a lot of these. I'm a little worried that this, this really is supposed to do all that, but it's not very functional. And I'm worried that the Pebble is going to be kind of like that. This is a hard thing to do. This does seem like the kind of market that Apple could say, hey, look, we figured it out.
This is the kind of thing that Apple could just really, really do right, because it is hard. I'm not in any way saying, this is, put it this way. We've had these things since Dick Tracy.
Right.
So, this is not a new idea. It's more that no one's done it well, because you used to have big honking ugly things like this. I mean, even Garmin has managed to get the GPS watches down so that you're not actually embarrassed to have it in public.
Siri on a watch?
At the same time, though.
FaceTime?
At the same time, though.
Talk to it.
This would be a little... I see this a little bit like Apple designing a camera. Because they would, yes, they could make the best camera in the world and would interact with iOS devices and desktop devices really well. But I think that they would say, yes, but people don't want a separate device for that anymore. I mean, even in our own communities, how often do you see people who are the most techie people around and their tech fetishes are really being served by, they're moving to analog watches because they use their phones for all the different extra features they used to put on a regular watch. So there's no end of friends of mine who can tell me about how I just set my watch off to this one Peruvian style mainspring winder who only has availability twice during the year because I know he's going to be in this continent. I can send my $8,000 watch off to have it reset by this one guy. I don't know many people who would willingly replace a regular timepiece with a wrist PC. I would, but I don't see Apple betting on that.
You were like me in high school. You had one of the very early calculator watches, didn't you?
I had one of these sharp like data bank watches where actually could hook up a keyboard to it. no joke. You could actually dock it to this little like chiclet keyboard and type in messages and type in notes or type in facts and figures from an upcoming exam, hypothetically. Yes, I did have that device.
Didn't the original calculator watches have little tiny styluses because the buttons were
cheap? Yeah.
Mine didn't, but I had little fingers back then.
So. Yeah. Hey, by the way, a correction. Sean David O'Connor on Twitter reminds me that it's not the A7 ARM. It's the ARM V7S, which is a... difference, subtle but important distinction. So thank you for let me correct that. It is not an A7 based chip. It's an ARM V7S. That's again speculation, although it seems to be pretty sure speculation. I'd like to see Apple do a watch. I know it's not a big market, but maybe they could make it a market. I'm looking. I'm wearing this Nike Fuel Band, which is a watch as well as a. A pedometer. I mean, I think, and I like wearing fashion wristwatches and stuff like that.
So here's the thing. I mean, it really does feel to me like a watch is the kind of thing that is visible. I mean, Apple was very big on the earbuds for the longest time because they were visible, and that said Apple.
Right.
And I think a watch would
That was
a
brilliant
thing.
Marketing stroke to make those white, wasn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely iconic.
Yep.
And, you know, and of course they pushed it a little bit with the ads, but still, you know, that was brilliant. And so it feels to me like a watch hits both the fashion crowd, the tech crowd, and it wouldn't try to be everything. I mean, that's, I think, the important thing is that these things can't do everything on their own because they're too small. But if you pair it with an iOS device, then you've got some interesting capabilities.
I agree.
So that's
absolutely true. But I think Apple would also have to say, I do have those nano wristwatches, and I have worn one on occasion, but it always gets to the same problem where you have to make sure you keep them charged. They will not run for more than a few days without recharging, and that might be what Apple regards as the insolvable problem.
Maybe. But maybe they'll have nuclear power in your wrist by then.
and a series of interchangeable hands and wrists so that after you fry them with neutritium.
Or inductance
radium.
Charging.
Yes.
From your corduroy.
That's radium on those analog watches.
Radium. That's right.
Yeah, it's the power.
I remember the ladies who painted radium on the dials got cancer because they were licking their brushes and painting. Yeah. Not recommended,
always,
by the way.
It's always fun when you see the obverse side of an old watch that's painted with radium and you see actual burn marks on the other side from where the radium was.
Ow. Hey, but it did glow in the dark.
Glowed like hell in the dark. Yeah. Actually, this one is glow in the dark too, but it does it by having like these, I think it is actually tritium capsules or something like that, where it puts on a great glow. But I had to ask like four times. So these little capsules, it's not filled with anything radioactive, is it?
No, tritium.
Perfectly safe. Well, not unless you were to wear this watch, I don't know, every day for hours and hours.
They thought radium was harmless too.
Exactly.
Is it bioluminescent? Is it made out of jellyfish?
Yeah, And damn it, it's so hard to put microorganisms in this every three days.
You got to find a jellyfish, chop it up.
It's sea monkey powered.
Sea monkies. Let me a couple more stories, and then we'll do an audible break, and we'll get your picks. I don't know if Adam, if you have a pick for it. I bet you do. You seem to flirt with some of this Apple stuff once in a while, just a little bit.
Why, yes, Leo, I do.
Marissa Meyer, you know, the headline said Marissa Meyer gives every Yahoo employee an iPhone 5. And then you read more carefully and it's not. She just says you can have an iPhone 5 or a Galaxy S3 or a Lumia 920. You can have one of the new state-of-the-art smartphones. The iPhone 5 is in that. The program is called Yahoo Smartphones Smart Fun. You can choose from an iPhone 5, a Samsung Galaxy S3, an HTC One X, an HTC Evo 4G LTE, or the Lumia 920. Yahoo will pay employees' phone and data bills.
So I guess they don't regard BlackBerry's as
fun. Rather than the revenue enhancing.
Yeah. She's got the money. By the way, they're discontinuing support for BlackBerry phones.
Yeah.
They all had BlackBerries, I guess, before. Mm. And Microsoft did the same thing, didn't they? This week they announced that they're going to give every single Microsoft employee, I don't know, what is that, 40,000 employees, a Windows 8 phone, a Surface tablet, and I think a Surface PC as well.
Yeah, an RT tablet.
Windows RT tablet, Windows 8 tablet.
Yeah, it's Windows 8 is such a big deal on every single level. It's hard to overstate it.
It's they're betting the company on it, I think.
Well, I don't think they're betting the company on it. They're betting, let's say, the company from 2017 through 2020 over it.
Right.
They're like Apple, in which they are in a great position where they would have to screw up consistently for many years before they started to get into trouble. And this is a really good – they have a really good plan.
Now's the time to do it, you say.
Exactly. So as long as they don't screw up Office, there's very little that can hurt Microsoft.
Well, and what will happen if people don't like 8, they'll continue to buy 7 until 9 comes out.
Yeah. I mean, the XP, I think, is still by far the most popular implementation of Windows on the planet.
I'm actually very bullish on this Windows 8 phone. This Lumia 920 looks like a great phone.
It looks like it really does. They still haven't announced a date for it, but I am really, I've got a spot on my hall of really cool technology stuff to play with as soon as it gets in. The Windows Phone is a terrific operating system, and the idea of having inductive charging built in, the idea of having all these other technologies built in, more than anything else, they're getting people actively excited about it. So hopefully it'll start to draw the sort of developers who will not try to just port over an Android app or port over an iPhone app, but try to make something that's uniquely suited for this device.
I think that what you could absolutely say is, if you are interested in cell phones, this is a good time. There are very many good, strong choices. Started by Apple. Apple gets full credit. None of this would have happened until the iPhone came out.
Although it's a little frustrating because it's hard to try them. You know, you get caught up in these platforms and these cellular contracts, and
it's not hard, Adam. It's expensive.
Well,
and time-consuming. And I agree with you. It's driving me crazy because I have accounts with Verizon, Sprint, AT&T, and T-Mobile.
Ouch.
And I pay well over $1,000 a month on cell phone bills. And I will own each of these phones. And that where it is hard is I don't feel you can give a phone a benefit of the doubt unless, as you do, Andy, you use it for a few weeks. You have to really commit to it.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's just different.
I agree.
I have such sympathy for consumers that have to walk into a store. Maybe they've even done a few hours worth of research, but there are times
it's
with
hard.
So many phones where I haven't really figured it out until like a whole week has passed. And by that time, you're already locked into a contract.
But that's our job. That's why we do it, is because we need to. And the real thing that I wish more people would emphasize is we still haven't seen an iPhone 5. We still haven't seen a 920. We still haven't seen a Note 2. We haven't seen the new HTCs. We don't know. We haven't even played. Nobody's played with a Windows 8 phone at all. So it's all. There's a lot of speculation. We won't know till December, really, which is the phone or phones. My suspicion, though, is the news is good. You can choose your carrier first. Get the carrier that works best where you live. Has the highest speed network, has the best phone connectivity. And then each carrier now will have some very good phones. If you can wait a month or two, you'll have some very, very good choices. Even T-Mobile says they're modifying their network so you can bring an unlocked iPhone to T-Mobile and get their HSPA Plus. Let's see what other stories here. Just quick. So that was Marissa Meyer giving everybody a nice phone. Isn't that funny, though? That's how you write the headline. Marissa Meyer gave every Yahoo employee an iPhone 5. No, she didn't. But if you want the links, if you want the clicks, that's how you write the headline. Because you don't get the clicks if you say, gave everybody a new smartphone.
Well, I just figured that everybody will choose an iPhone 5.
Are you interested in this? And this was from Wired UK, this light bulb that is controlled by an app?
Nope.
Yeah, I want to go through my house and turn on light bulbs individually.
Yes. A dimmer switch app. This is called the Life FX light bulb. It's a Kickstarter project that seeks to reinvent the humble light bulb. Each LED bulb can be wirelessly connected to a smartphone app. All right, that's just too much. Too much. Square just got another round of funding, valuing them at $2.5 billion. And I think what sometimes people miss in that story is that it's also an iPad story. Because the retailers, in most cases, if they're using Pay with Square, they're using an iPad interface, not a cash register. And in fact, that's what Square's COO is saying. He predicts that nearly all retailers will be running off an iPad or comparable device within the next 18 months.
Yeah, that's a very big deal. When I rode Amtrak to the airport and back last week, and it was the first time I noticed on the Northeast Corridor where the conductors were all using iPhones to scan tickets.
Wow.
And you do see occasionally Android devices being used that way, but rarely. You do still sometimes see Windows CE devices being used that way, just old legacy devices. But Every single time you see an advanced checkout app or an advanced checkout POS system, it's always either an iPhone or an iPad driving it. And man, that is, I would love to know about all the work that goes behind Apple to get those deals in place and make those platforms look as popular as possible to the POS manufacturers.
I have to say, we have a coffee shop down the street that uses Pay with Square, and I love it. I walk in and they know it's me, and I just say, you know, put it on Leo, bing, it's great.
My picture shows up kinds of retailers who are going to be making those switches are either the really big ones, you know, the Starbucks who can...
Starbucks made a deal. That's right.
By fiat, right. Change everything. And kind of the newer, smaller ones who don't either have an investment or have never really put in a serious system. Feels to me like if you're kind of in the middle, that you've... It's just too big a change. So when he says 18 months, I'm not buying it one bit.
I don't see Costco doing it, no.
Yeah. Just too much inertia.
By the way, I got the valuation wrong. They raised $200 million, which puts them at a $3.25 billion valuation for Square. Wow. iCloud has added a notification bar.
Yawn.
Geez, does anybody use iCloud? I mean, like, use iCloud as a user, as a, like, you know.
On the website? Really? I mean, you need notifications for the times you log into the website?
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand
it
either.
24/7, yeah.
But you know, it's what Microsoft has done with all of their web properties is they've made them look metro, right? If you go to SkyDrive, it looks like metro.
Yeah. You do wonder with all this movement for Microsoft and Google to make more of their products work really, really well on the web, if Apple's going to ever do something similar. If they did something as simple as letting you access your iTunes library through iTunes Match and stream through a website, that would be fantastic. But of course, I realize that's more about deals with the record companies rather than what they actually want to do.
Yeah, I do see notes and reminders, but I don't see the notification. Maybe I have no notifications.
You would have to get a banner that would come down.
Oh, I see. So you have to sit on iCloud for a while.
Yeah, I mean, what's funny about it, I mean, is that it really has to. Yeah, it comes down from right in the middle and the
top.
Got it. But it just, what is the situation where you're going to be having the iCloud web page open long enough?
Right.
Not on a Mac or not on a device where you're receiving your own notifications via Notification Center on Mountain Lion or iOS. So it seems odd to me, but you know, hey. I mean, and then there's ones that, you know, do seem odd, like the fact that there's no way of reading purchases from the iBookstore on a Mac.
You know,
that would seem like
weird.
An easy one.
Yeah. Yeah, they need more capability. But, I guess that's the story. They're adding capability over time.
Interesting if this were a precursor of something that a future upgrade,
right? Like an Office 365 style.
If they were planning to give you a sort of web experience that would where you would actually be using this and having iCloud open all the time.
Yeah.
Speculation. Ooh, I should write a blog post about that. I'll get lots of traffic.
We actually were postulating once in one of our staff calls about how Apple may in fact be looking to move processing into iCloud at some point, such that you could have devices that didn't have to have as much in the way of processor or memory or anything else locally, that you'd be just using them more or less as dumb terminals.
That was such a profitable business for OnLive. I think they should just jump right into that. They probably could get it a good deal, actually, right now on all those servers. That, by the way, OnLive, which did exactly that as a gaming service and then later as a Windows interface and went bankrupt. The reason they went bankrupt is they realized, and I think this could have been solved, they had to buy a server for every potential user. And at most, they never had 1,600 people on. So they had all these servers just, you know, sitting there that they'd
spent. They never heard of VMware?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It seems to me there would have been ways to solve this. Anyway, I mean, this guy's a smart guy. I don't know why they couldn't figure it out.
They were actually running it on Power Macs in a closet.
Right. Was it Steve Perlman, right? I don't know. You would think that Steve could have figured it out. But
yeah.
Hey, let's take a break. Come back with your picks of the week. If you want to do a iOS 6 tip, I don't know anything about it. We can do that too.
Neither do we.
Neither do you, because you can't talk. I know. But first, let's talk about Audible.com. I am a huge Audible fan. I know you are, Andy, and Notco. I think you are too, as I remember, Adam. It's the audio bookstore where they have over 100,000 books. And now that they're unified with Amazon, and now that they've added WhisperSync, I just love Audible even more. In fact, I put a link in my Twitter a couple of days ago. To show off WhisperSync, Amazon was giving away 20 different public domain things like Moby Dick, David Copperfield. And then when you bought it, it would say, oh, and now would you like the audiobook for free too?
Yeah.
So I added to my Audible library, I added Vanity Fair, The Mysterious Affair at Styles, that's an Agatha Christie, The Sign of the Four, Ethan Frome, Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, a couple of Edith Wharton books, Moll Flanders, The Moonstone by Wilkie Collins, Jack London's White Fang, Huckleberry Finn, Gulliver's Travels. This is great. These are all free books I just added to my – I now have like the great English classics, Dracula, Frankenstein, Moby Dick, Wuthering Heights, Tale of Two Cities. All you have to do is be an Audible member. So quickly join Audible. Take advantage of this. I think they're still doing it. Three Musketeers, David Copperfield. Isn't this great? I love Audible. I do. Audible.com.
Did you hear about the even cooler new feature of the new Kindle Fire HD?
No,
you can be WhisperSync now goes across different instances of different books. So you can be like in the coffee shop reading a book, put it down, go into your car, put on your iPhone. It will pick up the audiobook
where you
left off if you open it. Then you get home, you pick your Kindle back up, and it'll be synced all the way to the page where you reached
in
the
audiobook.
Awesome?
That's what this is to demonstrate. So you get David Copperfield, and it will do the audio. That's why they want you to get the audiobook and the text version so that you can do that. Isn't that – that is like – wow! And you know the other thing I really like about – and this is not an Audible part thing, but I like it – is you can turn on other people's notes on a book. I like that, where they've underlined and stuff. If you're reading a popular book, it's kind of like social underlining. I really like it.
A used book at a college bookstore.
Or maybe more like that. I don't know. Anyway, if you're not an Audible member, there are a lot of reasons to join Audible right now. They've got that $4.95 sale, which ends like any minute now. But I'll tell you what, I'll get you a free book. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't know if I'm going to like audiobooks. Here's the deal. You can get a free book and see if you like it. If you go to audible.com/MacBreak, you'll be signing up for the Book of the Month Club. They call it the Gold Account, which means you get a new book every month subscription or a new credit to a book. But the first month's free, your first credit is free, and you can apply it to a book, cancel at any time, pay nothing, and still have that book for the rest of your life. And if you do these 20 free books, you've got 20 books. So I'm really telling you how to get 21 books right now. audible.com/MacBreak. What are you listening to, Andy? I know you probably listen to a few books on your way here and back.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm on a Beatles kick over the past couple of weeks. So I did buy what has been recommended to me as one of the, if you have to listen to or read one first Beatles biography, you want to get The Beatles by Hunter Davies.
Yep.
It's about 20. I think it was published in the mid-90s, but it was sort of like the official biography of the Beatles, like while they were recording. And he actually had access to the group, like while they were recording. Which album was it? I can't remember. But he was actually in the studio while they were actually working together. So this isn't just pieced together with third-hand interviews. It's good so far. If you really want a comprehensive, here's what the group dynamic was. Here's how certain creative concepts came to light. I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm only about a couple hours into it, but definitely it's working out to be a good purchase. Even though I did have to swallow my prejudices because the original book is about 15, 20 years old. And so they didn't really put a lot of money into the cover art for Audible.
No, it's
so
terrible.
It is a stock photo of the Beatles and then the Beatles in Comic Sans.
Yep.
In Comic Sans.
Yeah. Mm. But don't be swayed by that.
But it's a free book. You know, it's a free book. It's a free font for a free book. Hey. And in the end, just make sure you just, you know, move the screen on your iPhone to something else while you're listening to this book. Exactly. And it'll be fine. It'll be just fine.
16 hours and 9 minutes. Actually, what I do is I listen to books and I play that terrible game that Alex Lindsay's turned us all onto that's now out on the iPad. What's it called? Field Runners 2. Thank you. John Selina is also addicted to it. So I'm listening to my audiobook and playing a game at the same time. So you don't see the album art. Here's the deal. Get it free. Go to audible.com/MacBreak. And while you're at it, get all of those other free books too. Audio books are the best way, in my opinion, to bring reading back into your life at the times when you can't hold a book, like when you're driving, when you're at the gym. I'm a big fan. Or playing a video game. audible.com/MacBreak. You're going to love this. Let's see here. Do you want to start Adam Engst with a pick?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I actually have two picks. It was not that long ago in August. It was the 25th anniversary of HyperCard, and I'm sort of in a card mood. So the two picks I have, one is a website called Trello, and they also have an iOS app, iPhone app at the moment, Android
this is,
too, I
this
believe.
Is Dan Bricklin's site, right?
Yeah, it's a Fog City people or Fog Creek software people, and Trello. It's sort of nominally, you know, a project management tool, whatnot. But what I love about it is just how utterly wide open it is. Basically, you have a board, then you have lists. Kind of think of it as whiteboard. Then you have lists. Think of, you know, vertical lists, and then you have cards. Think of them like Post-it notes. And your cards can contain text and graphics, and they can be assigned to people, and they can have due dates.
This is
cool.
And
you can move them around. It is absolutely brilliant. And what I love about it is that you set it up the way you want to do something. And it does not force you into a getting things done kind of mentality. If you want to have a list off to one side that's completely different, that's fine. It sends you email whenever anyone works on a card or a list or a board that you're subscribed to. So you can stay up to date. It is one of the best kind of collaboration tools that I have seen, frankly, ever. And, you know, you get an iOS app so you can stay up to date with it when you're away from your computer. Really, really good stuff. So it's all free, as it just says.
How could it be free? I don't know. Huh?
They're working on a business model at some point. It's Fog Creek, so they have plenty of money from other stuff. They're pretty clear about this. They're like, yeah, our other systems are paying the salaries, so we're just doing this until we get it to a point where, you know, we want to be able to have a premium version.
Oh, it's Joel Spolsky's Fog
Creek. Joel Spolsky, that's it. Yes.
Yeah, Joel on Software.
No,
he did something similar, but not. Okay, so this is Joel Spolsky. Well, he's like the god of programming. Yeah.
So, second thing I want to my second pick is an iPad app. You know, it's called Infinite Canvas. Whoops, just pushed my button. I'll pick it up. And Infinite Canvas is actually, there we go.
Get in. Infinite Canvas.
You get these things and you can then slide around between screens and cards. And the cards can have text, they can have graphics, they can have video, all that kind of stuff. And you can download them, play them, you know, all that for free. You can make relatively simple canvases that have 12 cards, and I think you pay a couple of bucks, you know, in-app purchase to be able to make larger ones. I haven't done a huge amount with making them, but for a lot of the simple kinds of things that people did with HyperCard, where they were transmitting their knowledge, you know, where it wasn't all about programming. It was more about, hey, I'm an expert in mycology, and here's my, you know, this type of mushroom that I am really the expert in. Let me tell you all about it. Here's my, in this case, canvas, you know, just like it used to be a HyperCard stack, and you can share that around and give people access to that knowledge. So
have you seen have you seen Learnist? You might be interested in that. Same idea on the iPad. Yeah. I love Learnist. It's the same thing. You say, I'm an expert, and I'm going to give you everything I know about it, and it's beautiful. I have to try this canvas as well.
Yeah. So those are my picks.
Cool. Two very nice picks. Do you want an iOS tip? Anything you want to warn us about? Prepare for iOS 6. Tomorrow's a big day.
Okay. So here's my iOS tip, which is not particularly hidden or unknown, and it's certainly been publicly talked about. But the thing I am looking forward to the most in iOS 6 is Do Not Disturb.
Yes.
I hate it. Hate it when some notification or message or whatnot wakes me up in the middle of the night because I forgot to turn on airplane mode.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be using that instantly.
So I haven't played with it. The idea is that you set a time that you don't want to be disturbed.
Yeah.
And then it won't bug you, or you can turn it on, physically turn it on at any time.
Yeah, you won't, unless there's certain and you can whitelist certain people. You know, so like, yeah, I always want my parents to be able to call me for whatever reason.
That's
whenever.
Nice. Yeah.
But you know, and we've had to do that. I mean, we actually, you know, my wife and I both have cell phone, you know, both of our iPhones, and we have a landline partly for that breaking in thing. You know, that only family has the landline number, and it's the, yeah, this will always work
right,
and will wake us up.
Yeah, I like that. And you can also, is this the one that gives you, will send a text message if somebody tries to disturb you? Or is that something else?
Honestly, not sure at this point.
Yeah.
So we'll.
When Do Not Disturb is enabled, a moon icon will appear in the status bar, and incoming calls and alerts will be silenced unless you allow calls from, for instance, your favorites.
Right.
When enabled, a second call from the same person within 3 minutes will not be silenced. So you could turn that on as well. Like, well, if they really want me to, yeah. Cool. This looks good. Nice. I'll be looking at that right away. Andy Anatko, do you want to do a Lion tip or an iOS tip or just a pick? You get to choose.
Quick Lion tip based on my own experiences and lifestyle. When you upgrade to the next version of an operating system, app updates through the App Store are going to work really, really great. But there's a whole bunch of other software that you might not have updated in a long, long time. And these are the things like startup apps and helper apps that keep your phone working and keep your VNC client working. And you don't know how out of date they become until suddenly your computer starts acting very, very funny and ritualistically abusive to you and your productivity. My own MacBook was really acting up over the past couple of weeks since I upgraded to Mountain Lion. Finally, you had to go methodically through every folder and find every helper app and every piece of software, including stuff that I didn't like. I even had a BlackBerry helper app for something that I tested like 9 months ago. That had to go out. And those problems didn't go away until I methodically went to all the source websites, downloaded brand new helper apps for all these sort of things, manually installed or removed all of them, and then the clean sweep. So I like to think that I'm very, very careful when I myself do OS updates, but I'd completely forgotten that I had these little other apps in there. And that turned out to be the reason why I had a very, very hard time in life for the past couple of weeks. So just a reminder more than a tip.
And your pick of the week.
Pick of the week. Everybody knows about the Jawbone. What are they called? Mini Boombox? No, what do they call it?
Jambox.
It's a tiny Jambox. Thank you very much. A $200 tiny portable travel speaker that has really wonderful sound. I think it's a good device, but I don't think there are a lot of people that can spend $199 for that sort of thing. Logitech. This is going to be available very, very shortly. Logitech has this really nice little thing they call the UE, the mobile boombox. And as you can see, it is tiny, 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 he said, fishing for the remote. It is even smaller in profile than an actual iPhone. So it is tiny, 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 but also it's simple. It's rugged. There are little buttons that are sort of underneath this rubber coating. So there's nothing that sticks out like that. It charges via micro USB, so you don't need to pack an extra charger. The one important switch that you don't want to get hit accidentally is this one little sliding power switch. And you will pair it with, you can pair it with as many as 8 different devices simultaneously. So you don't have to keep unpairing it from your iPad, then pairing it with your iPhone. For that, it is a not only a competent speaker with surprising amount of bass for how small it is, it's also sufficiently loud as to fill a hotel room with sound. Now, it is a stereo speaker, but yeah, you're not going to get like Budokan style stereo separation. Also, while it has a good amount of bass, it's a little bit weak on the top end. So it's good. It's a good device to use with a app that has an equalizer, so you can sort of compensate for that a little bit. And it also has a built-in Bluetooth speakerphone, so you can use it for conference calling. But best news is that this is just $99, so it is far, far more affordable. I've been kind of looking for a travel speaker, something to take around with me so that I can have a little bit more entertainment in my hotel room. I've never seen a speaker that was either small enough to fit to merit some of that precious space I have in my one carry-on bag that I travel with, or cheap enough that it seemed like I want a speaker like this. I don't want to spend $200 for a speaker like this. This is a lot more in line. And the battery will last about, it'll run off of AC, but on battery, it's. I was listening to it just the other day, and I got about 6 to 8 hours worth of playback time on it. So something to think about for small travel purposes. I think the mobile boombox is the favorite thing that I've seen so far. By no means perfect, but I think it's close enough that I would actually buy it.
I had for a review, and we reviewed it last week on Before You Buy, the big brother to that, which is kind of an interesting product. It's cool
looking.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah. It really is one of those back to the future moments where if it's 1985 and you're doing set design for a scene that's set in 2012, you would probably say, well, why don't we take the standard like Sony cassette boombox, but it's the future, so let's remove the cassette part and remove all the controls and remove everything, and that will tell everybody that it's in the future. When I'll be damned, that is exactly the way that the future works, because your music is offsite, the controls for the player are offsite. Really, all you need are a rechargeable boombox you can carry from room to room or from your house to where you're going. And it has a really nice bass, really good volume, and again, will last about 10 hours on battery. So that one's $250, so you still have to sort of decide about what kind of pain you want to go through in order to be able to annoy your neighbors in a hotel room.
It's pretty, though. It's so pretty. I just love it.
It is pretty. Yeah. It's just, there's like, it's like how, it is like the ultimate of, I think that they it's almost as if they're like, we're annoyed that we actually have to put a speaker grill on the front, on the face of this, because otherwise we would have just a complete bare shape of aluminum,
right,
as a product.
Right.
But no, I suppose we need to let the sound come out somewhere.
This my pick is something that Iaz taught me about. I don't know if Iaz is still here, but he doesn't know that he taught me about this. I saw his Facebook page, an old picture of Iaz with a beard. And he said, I found this thanks to Lost Photos. This is an interesting app. It was only 99 cents. It's now back up, I think, to $4.99 on the App Store. The idea is it goes through your email accounts and finds pictures. Now, if you've been using Gmail, as I have for some years, it actually can find quite a few pictures. It supports Gmail, Yahoo, AOL, MobileMe, Ymail, RocketMail, AT&T, BT, Yahoo, Extra New Zealand, and they're adding more accounts all the time. And so what you do is you give it your information. You can give it some settings. I'm going to do it here on my Gmail account. Ignore images in GIF format or not. Ignore images received before a certain date. Ignore images smaller than 8K.
Listeners, this is a very good time to start screen capture going in case there are pictures in Leo's Gmail that he has forgotten completely about.
Well, the problem is it does, by the way, Chad immediately cuts away from that. The problem is it did find a lot of garbage, you know, images in spam and so forth. But it also found all the images that people had sent me and I'd sent them that I'd forgot about that were buried in my Gmail. I found well over 1,300 images. It makes a folder of them, and then you can go through them and see. But it's kind of cool, you know. As more and more people use their email as a database of old stuff, this is an interesting app. It's called Lost Photos. Used to be 99 cents. It's maybe which at that price was a no brainer. I don't know if the $4 or $5 it costs now maybe make it worth or not, but it's worth taking a look at. Lost photos, as long as you trust them. I used Google's 2-step authentication and immediately revoked the password after giving it to them, so it was of no use to them.
I was about to say I'd be more pleased if this thing cost $50. If it were free, I'd be thinking, oh, so they just want my email addresses.
Right.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, I mean, Apple approved it. How could you not trust them?
There you go.
How could you not trust lost photos?
Nothing can possibly go wrong.
It's from a company called Space Inch LLC. Thank you, Adam Engst, for being here. Tidbits is a must. Everybody has to go to tidbits.com and read that 22-year-old newsletter of Apple Juice. You can also be a member and help support them, which is, I think, a nice idea.
Much appreciated.
Yeah. Great to see you again, Adam. Come back soon.
Always.
And Andy Iannacco, we love having him, too. Andy Iannacco's at the Chicago Sun-Times. Read him regularly in that actual newsprint medium. But you can also read his blog at www.cwob.follow.com. Follow his pictures on Flickr. And what is it, Andy I? What do you use on Flickr?
On Flickr, I am Andy I.
Andy, yes. I.
Everywhere else, I'm a Natko.
And he's a Natko on Twitter, IHNATKO. Great
you
to see you. It was nice having you out here. I really, I'm very grateful you flew out for the Apple.
I'm definitely, the next time I'm out there, I definitely want to set aside some more time to hang out at the studio. Because
you were on TNT on Friday. It was great.
I was on TNT and I had a great time. It's wonderful to like be able to be part of the conversation where you can see other people's facial expressions.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I think I want to say, oh, wait, I can see that Jim has something that he wants to say instead. So I'll just be quiet.
It's a little different, isn't it?
It's a little different. Also the... you can be on camera at all times, so you know that, okay, I don't think I will be picking.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be picking that part.
Yeah. Andy's the greatest. We've
been using Google Hangouts on Air a lot. And so they have the thumbnails along the bottom, then it keeps switching.
You're always on.
Up top. And
yeah.
So you're always on.
Always
thinking.
Yeah.
Can't just go wandering off and picking my nose and stuff.
We do Mac Break Weekly on Tuesdays when there's not an Apple announcement. And by the way, we will do live coverage if there should be an Apple announcement next month of, say, some 7.85-inch iPad mini.
A6 processor.
Maybe the rumors are wrong. Maybe the 10-inch iPad is going to be renamed the mini. Now there's going to be a 17-inch iPad.
Ooh.
It's going to be just the regular iPad.
Start that rumor.
It's going to be hard using that on an
Blog
airplane.
That.
Just like...
Blog that, sucka. Andy's disinformation show. Andy, by the way, does a great podcast I should mention on 5x5 called Anatko's Almanac. Because when he was in here, he was talking about comic books and stuff. We don't let him do that on this show. But if you want to hear all that other stuff, Anatko's Almanac is a great show.
It's only 2-hour show.
5x5.tv. We do our show 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on Tuesdays on Twit. Please watch live. Love to have you in the chat room. As you can tell, the chat room is a big part of the show. But if you can't watch live, we make on-demand audio and video versions available, as we do of all of our shows, even HD versions, 720p versions, available at twit.tv. In this case, it's twit.tv/MBW for Mac Break Weekly. Thanks for being here. Now get back to work because break time is over.